Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Just about everything that is some major and important thing in the world started out as something really small. Now, think about Steve Jobs as a youngster. He was tinkering around in the garage of this modest family home in California. And the result of his tinkering around and, you know, just day by day little things, well, I've got one in my pocket. This is an iPhone. You know, the whole Apple Corporation, which is huge, one of the largest in the world. You probably have an iPhone or an iPad or an Apple Watch, maybe Apple laptop or desktop, but it's all around us. And when you say Apple, we don't automatically think of that red thing that's round, but you think of something else because something that had such a tiny beginning grew and it became something highly significant. Well, it's kind of like the kingdom of God. You know, that little mustard seed thing, you know, growing to be that huge shrub, providing cover and shelter for the birds and food for them. So it is in things of the kingdom of God. And we are never to despise small things in the kingdom of God. And God simply wants to work through ordinary human beings like we are. But he's looking for people that he can entrust and let them be channels of obedience so that his work can be done through them. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles in the 16th chapter, the 9th verse, where it tells about what God is doing right now. The eyes of the Lord, it says, run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. And I'm going to go back to that word blameless. And I thought, you know, there might be some other translations of that word. And so I went to some other translations, and I found, like, one said, fully committed. And another one, devoted, fully devoted. It sounds kind of familiar to us at Ablaze Church as what it is that we're looking for, because that's what God is looking for. And he wants people involved in his plan, the work of his kingdom. That whole mustard thing, mustard seed thing, we're going to see that kind of come out and develop. But I want to tell you a story. It has several parts to it. But the story involves a man by the name of Edward Kimball. Anybody ever heard of Edward Kimball? Well, probably no, you probably haven't. Not very many people have. But Edward Kimball was, in a previous century, a Sunday school teacher. Now, he picked the most challenging class, which was boys that were just on the verge of growing up, and you know how they can be, like trying to herd cats. You don't do something in that class. But he wanted every single one of them to know the plan of salvation and have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Dwight, though, was a problem child, and he seemed to resist, and he was never on track. And so Edward said, I've got to go personally and see him. He had a part-time job in a shoe store. So on a Saturday, he went, found him in the stock room, putting these boxes up on the shelves. Dwight, can I have a few minutes of your time? Yes, okay, yes, sir. And so he explained the plan of salvation and told him the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Well, the Holy Spirit was moving through that message, and that day, Dwight received Jesus Christ into his heart as his Savior. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention his last name. His last name was Moody, known as Dwight L. Moody, who became one of history's most important evangelists, and through his ministry, many thousands of people came to profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Starting with just one little class of guys, and now thousands of people coming to Jesus Christ. That's kind of the mustard seed, isn't it? But you know what, guys? It doesn't end there. So Dwight became a world-renowned evangelist, and through his ministry, a guy by the name of Wilbur Chapman received Jesus Christ. And Wilbur Chapman, what do you think he became? He became an evangelist as well, and he preached to thousands of people. One day, a professional baseball player had a day off and decided he would go to one of those meetings of Wilbur Chapman. He was so moved by it that he received Jesus Christ into his heart as his Savior, and it wasn't long and he quit baseball, and he became an evangelist himself. His name was Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday. Well, through Billy Sunday's ministry, another young man came to the knowledge of Christ, and the man's name was Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham was now Billy Sunday was pretty flamboyant, but Mordecai Ham was kind of reserved. He was dignified. He was scholarly, just a consummate gentleman. But he wasn't above a few tricks, like renting a hearse and then parading down the middle of the street in the town, you know, where he's going to be having a series of meetings, catching people's attention. You know, are you ready for this, folks? Well, he got to Charlotte, North Carolina. There was a lanky, sandy-haired guy. His name, Billy Frank, his family called him, Billy Frank. And Billy Frank heard that Mordecai Ham was in town. He said, I don't want to go see that flamboyant guy. You know, this is not for me. And but he had made an announcement. That is, Mordecai Ham made an announcement that right across from the high school, there was a house of ill repute, okay? You know what I'm talking about. And then during lunch hour, a lot of kids would skip lunch and go and make a visit there. Well, the boys wanted to go to that meeting and disrupt and heckle that man. And so Billy, he said, yeah, I think maybe I'll go. I got to see what's going to happen there. So he went. He was very moved by what he heard that night. And it started him pondering. And he decided he was going to go back again for a second visit. So he and a friend arrived. As they got to the auditorium, the place was so packed they couldn't see any place to sit. But one alert usher saw them as they were about to leave and said, hey, guys, I think I can find a spot, two seats together. And so he led them down right to the front. And there they sat. And during the preaching of Mordecai Ham, what happened is that Billy Graham was convicted by the Holy Spirit and went forward, received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And by the way, this Billy Frank, you know what his last name was? Was Graham. Yeah, Billy Graham, who preached to more people than any other person in the history of humanity, even more than the Apostle Paul himself. So something began with something very small. One person just being faithful to his calling, taking a couple of extra steps, you know, going outside of his comfort zone and reaching this man. So you had Edward Kimball reaching Dwight Moody, who reached Wilbur Chapman, who reached Billy Sunday, who reached Mordecai Ham, who reached Billy Graham. But it didn't end there. Yeah, maybe a lot of you know people who came to Jesus Christ as a result of Billy Graham. Well, back in the 1970s, there was a meeting in the church I was pastoring, a bunch of women, and there was a guest speaker. He was a seminarian. And so I wanted to know a little bit more about him. He says, yeah, my name is Don Johnson. Oh, okay, where are you from? Well, you know, there's a little peninsula at this reservation, Indian Reservation, off Washington, the coast, the state of Washington. He said, that's where I'm from. I lived there. I was born there. I'm a member of the Maka tribe. Oh, well, how did you come to know Jesus? Well, I went to the New York World's Fair, and there was a Billy Graham Evangelistic Association display and exhibit. I went in there, and I started a conversation, and before I left, I became a child of God through Jesus Christ. So, you know, the story doesn't end. It's a story that keeps on. You follow the trail, but the trail will go all the way back to the apostles of Jesus Christ, who were very ordinary people. And one by one, they went around the world and taught people about Jesus Christ. Do not despise small beginnings. Do not despise small churches. Know the truth of the kingdom of God. Single seed, the mustard seed, that can bring about great things. You know, sometimes we have a limited vision because we think of something as so small, so insignificant, not real players in the real world, but God has in mind something much bigger. Small seeds, small starts, and great outcomes. That's the kingdom of God. One man, Abraham, and God says, hey, look up at the sky. See if you can count the stars. I can't count them. They're way too many. Well, that's what your descendants will be one day. And through that came the Messiah, the Savior of the world. One man making a difference. What about a guy by the name of Gideon? Now, Gideon was from the smallest clan of the smallest tribe of the, and, you know, they were not distinguished at all. And he was basically hiding out in fear. And God used him with just 300 men to rout the Amalekite army and to have a complete victory over them. Think about Jesus, just 5 loaves, 2 fish in his hands. And then he blessed, and then 5,000 people, plus the women and children, were fed. Think about Jesus with 12 disciples, 11 of whom were faithful. And then by the time of his ascension, and they gathered in an upper room, there were 120 of them. And then on the day of Pentecost, the whole thing exploded, and there were 3,000. The next report is that there were 5,000, and then they stopped giving us numbers because you couldn't count them all. Jesus, you see, starting with such a humble beginning inside the womb of the Virgin Mary, at one single cell, born in the stable in a very undistinguished place, and then teaching his parables, his miracles, and then finally just one man, weak, dying on a cross, and then a dead man in a grave. But see, that wasn't the end of the story. It was like the seed, the mustard seed. And the grave burst forth, and he came out, and he ascended into heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit, and everything has been going an incredible way ever since. The most influential movement that there has been in all of history. As a matter of fact, it is moving toward a consummation of this, the fulfillment of this, when one day Jesus Christ is going to be coming back, and that is going to be the most stupendous thing that has ever happened on this planet. Incredible. All right, so has it all ended? It's just starting. Still happening, even when it doesn't look like it. Even when it looks like all we got is this little tiny seed. But you know what's inside of that seed? And by the way, I'm going to show you another one. This is a seed. There's a lady. Her name is Jo Wise. She likes to collect jewelry that has mustard seeds in it. You see this little cross she gave to my wife, Connie? There is a tiny, tiny mustard seed inside of that. All right. Sometimes we feel we just don't quite have the resources, and our influence is so small. But Jesus said, if you've got faith like a mustard seed, you could move a mountain. So it isn't the size of the resource that matters. In fact, it isn't even the size of the faith. It is the size of the God. That is what makes all of the difference. Faith is linked to an almighty, huge God, the Almighty. And when we are coupled then to his purposes, his plan, his will, his power, then look out. Even a little faith that is focused on the promise can do a whole lot. Okay, let's go back to the Bible. We're going to go to Ephesians in the 3rd chapter. And this is what Paul writes to that church in the city of Ephesus. And he says, now to him, now that him, that's God, who is able to do how much? Far more abundantly. Far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. So it goes beyond imagination, beyond anything we can, you know, construct inside of this little brain there. And it says, according to what? The power that is at work within us. What is that power that is at work within us? That's the power of God, power of the Almighty. And earlier in his letter, he identifies that power in the Christian as the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, this calls us, challenges us to vision. Vision. Call it holy imagination, to see things as God sees them. That's what vision is, seeing that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, that God has a promise, that God has power. And when our trust is then linked to him, what is the ability he asks for of us on our part? Just one ability, and that's availability. That's why his eyes are scanning to and fro throughout all the earth. Anybody available? Anybody available? I can make myself strong in anyone who is available to me. Wow. Now, there are times when we lose vision. I'm a sinner in that respect. Sometimes I lose vision. You know what? People just aren't interested in religion anymore. I mean, like, Christianity is now kind of minority. You know that? We are minority, kind of. And then there are scandals and abuses that are publicized widely. You know, somebody does something bad, you know, minister does this or that, you know, so on and so forth. And then there are that turn people off. And then you have Generation X, Millennial, Generation Z. And say, yeah, the style really isn't appealing. And the message either is too hard and demanding or too soft, too boring, irrelevant. By the way, the message has never gotten irrelevant. It's just people that get irrelevant. But is it relevant to where people live? We don't have the facility. We don't have the budget. We don't have the staff. We don't have the programs. We don't have the planning out there. Our denominational profile is so unexciting. And, you know, while these can be kind of influencing factors, that's not the deal. Okay, our call, our duty is to faithfulness to Jesus, to his mission. And what part has he assigned us in the kingdom? Okay, take your little faith, take your mustard seed. We have to do something with that. And then sometimes I'll kind of guilt trip myself, said, you know what? If I were a good pastor, we'd be way beyond this because I read in the papers and magazines and see on TV, you know, there are pastors that have got their own private jets and several mansions. Whoa, because they got these huge congregations. You know, oh, this guy, he started out with 12 people, and in 12 months they had 1,200, and then in 12 years they had 12,000, and it just keeps on growing. And it's, what's the matter with us? Don't we have the same God? What's going on? You know, we are just called to be faithful and to place this mustard seed of faith where he, you know, has assigned us. And only then can it grow. Now, so what's the mustard seed? There are two identifications that Jesus gives with regard to seeds. One, he says, a seed is the word of God. And when the seed is placed in the ground, when it's in good soil, it's going to grow. And when it grows, what happens when it matures? It reproduces. What happens to Christians when they mature? They reproduce, and more Christians. You see, we're in the business of making disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. That's a part of what our mission all is. And so what about that word? The word then gives life. There's a second kind of identification that Jesus gives when he says, if you have faith as a mustard seed. So the mustard seed of faith, because that faith, and I'll just say again, it's connected to this huge God. It doesn't matter how big your faith is, but where are you placing your faith? In yourself? In your circumstances? or in the words and promises of God. And so at Ablaze, yes, we have a high view of the Word of God. We have a doctrine of the Word of God that's impeccable. This Word is totally inspired, you know, cover to cover. It is inerrant. It is the source of our life. We teach it. We preach it. We read it. We try to meditate upon it. But folks, it is germinating, and it is bearing fruit. We have our cross training and God's grand story, kids crew, and so forth. But it is important for us to believe it and to plant it and to act upon it. And as Tina told us earlier today, faith comes by hearing. What do we hear? The Word of God. That is what creates faith. That is what grows faith, sustains faith, and so forth. And what happens when there is faith? In Colossians 1:4, this is another letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He said, "We heard of your faith in Jesus Christ." So what happens as a result of faith? And then the love that you have for all the saints. Faith and love that, you see, it's growing. It's bearing fruit. We're doing it, and we're going to keep on doing it. And we have to be sure that we don't get off mission. And so it requires focus, making disciples who make disciples. And wherever we are, we're in a great mission field. It was a shoe company that hired two new salespeople and sent them off into a third world area of the world to open up a new market. And so they brought their samples along with them, as much as they could bring, and they're all excited about going into a new area. Well, after a couple of weeks, the first one got very, very discouraged, and he sent a message back. He said, "Take me back home again. There's no use because these people do not wear shoes. They're all barefoot." The second one said, "Send as many shoes as you can. This is a huge market. They're all barefoot." You know, we sometimes act like that first salesman instead of like the second salesman. It's a matter of perspective. And then we don't put the seed into the ground. Then, you know, the mustard seed just kind of, just there, making more mustard. Yeah. So we need to be having that kind of vision. And we are at a place at Ablaze Church. We're building foundations in this COVID time, which has not been fun at all. No. But we've been preparing leaders, spiritual leaders, like you saw on the screen, 3 out of the 6 who are becoming elders. But, you know, we're trying to reach as many as we possibly can and get people involved in learning, studying, focusing on and living out the Word of God in their lives. And we're having a fall festival this afternoon. What's that all about? Just to get outside and have a little fun? No. You know, our mission, love God, love others. Chance to love others. Follow Jesus. Tell others, hey, we're going to have a bunch of people. Maybe some of them don't know Jesus. Maybe some of them are spiritually homeless. We're going to make friends with these people. We're going to show them that as Christian people, we have a great time, and we love people that are not part of this fellowship here. And so it's an important part of our reaching out into the world, building our foundations, fall festival, installing elders. Now, it's not a matter of how big is your faith, even that tiny seed, when it's linked into the purposes and the plan and the power of God, does great things. It's how big is our God. That's the major thing that we need to be concerned about. How big is our God? Just a couple things by way of wrapping this up. We need to concentrate not on being a huge church. We need to be concentrating on being, because that's up to God. A great church, a small church, can be a great church after the heart of God and what He wants us to be. Be a great church when we are a healthy church. And healthy church is where all the parts are working together under the Lordship of Jesus Christ into the single purpose of making disciples, who can make disciples. And then also think of yourself in that, okay? We're all part of, we're all links in a chain. We saw the links, you know, from Edward Kimball all the way to Billy Graham, Don Johnson, and then there are probably hundreds yet go beyond Don Johnson yet. You know what? All of us are a link in that chain. If we're not functioning as a link, the chain breaks, and that's not right. That's not good. How many links might you be away from the next Billy Graham? Are you willing to do what the Lord calls you to do? Because it's such a glorious thing. It's such a beautiful thing. It's an incredible privilege to be a follower of Jesus and to be making disciples.